CliffCentral.com.
I want you to be happy. I like that. That's my theory. That's my motto for the day and for the week and for the year.
I don't know. It sounds a bit pushy to me.
Shut up, Ben.
Oh, okay.
Hey, from the outer reaches of space to the small town streets of suburbia, the hunt comes home in Shane Black's explosive reinvention of the Predator series. Now, the universe's most lethal hunters are stronger and smarter and deadlier than ever before. That's right. They've been genetically upgraded for DNA from other species. And when a young boy accidentally triggers the Predator's return to Earth, only a ragtag crew of ex-soldiers and disgruntled science teachers can prevent the end of the human race. CliffCentral.com wants to offer you, that's you, the chance to see the movie the day before the release at an exclusive preview screening, Thursday the 13th of September at Monte Cassino.
Tomorrow.
Yes. And by the way, the reason that we've been talking about this so long is because Monte Cassino got a much bigger theater. So we can have more people there. So you've got to get your entries in. Even though there's a bigger theater, it doesn't mean the seats are unlimited. Mm. So what do you have to do, Sia?
We still keep it very exclusive. All you have to do, just email us, events@cliffcentral.com.
Uh-huh.
Say, hi, beautiful, wonderful, happy people.
Uh-huh.
We'd like to join you tomorrow. We want to have some Coke and popcorn and share in the excitement of the movie.
Yes.
Full stop and you push send.
Right.
Then you'll get a response.
So there we go. CliffCentral.com. Just events@CliffCentral.com. And you can be one of our special guests. All right. So much to get into this morning.
So much happened
yesterday. Ben tells me, I don't know if I believe you or not. Ben says to me the other day he was very upset by Mac Miller's death. I saw a lot of people on social media going on about Mac Miller. I have to be perfectly frank. Who was that rapper who died a little while ago?
Don't you dare lump him in with this guy.
I don't know. Who's that guy?
Double extension.
Was it called extension?
He was like an absolute piece of shit.
Okay.
Mac Miller, not so much. Great guy.
What's it, Nola?
I think it's extension, but there's like a lot of X's in it.
So you say that this Mac Miller, because I didn't know who Triple Extension was.
Greatest white rapper that ever was.
Really?
Mac Miller.
You can't say that when there's still Vanilla Ice and Eminem in the world.
Ever was, yeah.
Oh.
And his music will stand up. So you can go and be white and angry and try rap, but you're never going to be Mac Miller. That guy was cool. So he, from like the age of like, I don't know, 16, 17, he was rapping. He was really making hits. His early music videos looked like they were made in iMovie. But the guy was cool. Like, he just had a real musical ability. There was like notes of jazz and sort of like his songs were cool. They were very different. But
you were a big fan.
Yeah,
I liked his music. Okay.
His latest album, Swimming, very good. But it's not angry. I hate people and I'm so like whatever music. It's just that it was cool. The guy was obviously into drugs, but who isn't in celebrity land? Like, he had some pretty sweet collaborations too. Mm-hmm. His song Dang was probably my favorite one.
What's it called?
Dang.
Oh, we've played it a couple of times.
Played
on the show.
Played it all the time. Mm-hmm. He collaborated with CeeLo. A song called We. He actually dated Ariana Grande for about 2 years.
Wow.
So many people are saying that it's because of this relationship that he never really bounced back, and he was depressed, and obviously the drugs, and she broke up with him because it became a toxic relationship because of the drugs. This is all obviously like TMZ kind of hearsay, and then he crashed a car, and then obviously people were like bringing her into it, like, you know, she was the reason, which is always stupid and unfair. But he wrote a song about her called Cinderella.
Oh.
The guy had, like, just cool music, but he was 26. But he was
what
like,
happened? Overdose?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's only 26.
Yeah, I'm sorry this is such a late tribute, but I saw this stuff last week and thought, well, another rapper's dead. Big deal.
Hmm.
And I didn't realize...
Like, he was cool. Like, his music was just different. Like, he wasn't just stereotypical. Okay, sure, he had, like, baggy clothes and tattoos and that kind of stuff, but he had great range. And even Elton John paid tribute to him.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were such a fan, Ben.
Yeah, Gareth, my favorite rapper died. My favorite rapper.
I know I ain't a saint if it ain't too late. Well,
I can't keep on losing.
I run away so fast, but my heart like gold, but it break like glass. Now my shit get old and I act so young, baby, you so cold. Never had
all right.
No,
well, you know what? I'm sad too. What the hell? I didn't realize the guy was so talented. I didn't know anything about him.
Yeah, but you also didn't know Tribe Called Quest, so we're not we're not going to ever judge you on this.
Well, it sounds like you are.
If you go into YouTube, so Mac Miller, best day ever.
Uh-huh.
Like, he literally looks about 12, but that's when he really got on the map. But he was never like one of those big rappers. But you know, he was the kind of guy that gave Chance the Rapper like a big leg up. You know, he was well known and respected by everyone in the music industry. And he was just at like level below, so he wasn't a huge superstar, but I mean, the guy put on loads of music.
Very good. Stefan, you remember our listener in Berlin that I had dinner with Pumi and Greg the other night?
Yeah.
In Berlin, he sent me a voice note. He wants us to hear what he has to say. Do you want to hear what he's got on his mind? All right, here's Stefan. Have a listen to this.
To Monday's podcast. When you guys were talking about, or Gareth was talking about how Germans just want you to be quiet all the time and shh and hush hush. I don't think it's an East German thing. I just really think it's a Berlin thing, because they party all night, they got headaches and hungover, so of course you've got to be quiet. Oddly enough, exactly at that moment I walked into the train to go to work, and somebody was telling somebody else to shut up, so it's probably part of their culture. Also, Gareth and me were discussing some additional members for the death pool that could be very relevant and, you know, actually are a part of the team. First would be our homeboy, Hi Rob. I've got no idea how that dude's still alive.
It's a fair point. Someone should have Hi Rob in the list.
We should add him to the death pool.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to be happy about it, but
he'll understand.
Hi Rob, the way he lives. I think it's a very good point that Stefan makes.
He's huge points because Hi Rob's still in his 20s.
Yeah, correct.
If you get Hi Rob, you might win the year.
Because remember, what we do in the death pool, just to remind everybody, is we take 100 and we minus the age of the person who dies. Yeah. So you get maximum points for someone young who dies, minimum points for like a...
Minus points if Kirk Douglas dies.
Yeah, I mean, Kirk Douglas is what, over 100?
Yeah, so you get minus points when he dies.
Who has Kirk Douglas? I'm looking over the list right now.
All right, so he's suggesting Hi Rob.
Oh, I do.
You have Kirk Douglas, all right.
Shout out to Rob. Come visit Berlin. Let's see if you can survive this place. I'll take you to some dingy corners that I might actually explore with you.
Don't poke the
And
bears,
second
don't.
Thing I'd like no, to I'm add joking. To the death pool is Ben's hairline, which is clearly receding faster than the polar ice caps.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Sorry, Ben.
How is that even news?
Yeah, but deep down, I'm just jealous that you can play so much golf. So.
Oh, yeah, he's taken up golf, he told us. He's become a real golfer. He's a member of a club there in Berlin. I don't know how
many
there are.
You know, in Germany, you need a license to play golf.
Yeah.
You can't just... You need to pass a test, yeah. Gareth. They make you do a fucking test
he
all day.
He plays golf now in Berlin. So you've inspired someone to take it up.
You have to have a sit-down exam and
right.
you need a golfing license.
He's done all of that.
Well, good for you, Stefan. But I mean, you're clearly not very observant, and you need to be very observant in golf.
Why is he not observant?
Well, he's only talking about my receding hairline now. Like, what? For how long? How long has that been happening?
Well, how long has it been happening?
Ages, Gareth.
Hmm.
Like the polar ice caps.
Oh. Does it worry you?
As much as it can.
Do you think you can have one of those strange balding patterns where you have like a your top is bald but you got hair on the sides, like
that's
like everyone, Dr. Snuggles?
That's kind of what people go through. It's called getting old.
Jesus. It's not a great look, huh? You're not excited about that. Are you doing any treatment? Because your hair hasn't got... I don't think it's got worse.
No, it hasn't got worse. I've managed to maintain because it's the things I do. But that's just life. And obviously, eating clean is a big thing with that.
Okay. Well, Stefan says he's got to look out.
I hope there's no hard feelings. And since everybody keeps coming to Berlin, Ben, Sia, it's your turn.
Yeah.
When the hell are you guys coming? I'll make a plan. I'll find something you guys want to do, and we'll go sort it out.
There we go. See?
Have a great day, guys.
There we go. Very nice. So there's a little voice note from Berlin, just for you.
All right. Well, we need more inductees into the death pool then.
So we'll add Hi Rob. I don't know how we're going to apportion him to...
Yeah, we need two more so that it's fair, so that the
Yeah, right. Okay.
We'll come up with a few.
Well, you know, maybe we should just find, like, I know we don't have too many young people, but the rate that these young celebrities are dying.
Yeah.
Someone's got to put Bieber on the list. We've got Bieber.
No, we do not.
Well, because him.
Because Bieber's, I mean, look, when last did he tour? When last did he release new music?
He's on the way out.
He's now getting married. I mean, that's it. He's about to go.
Jeez, we do still have Elton John, Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah.
Kirk Douglas, Barbara Walters.
I mean, some of these people have died metaphorically in terms of their career being. Yeah.
Yeah, but guys, you know, Seacrest won't die. He'll just take someone else's body.
That's true. All right, listen. Yesterday, I'm on a friends group on WhatsApp.
Yeah.
And they were having a conversation. I really only checked in because it was coming up with notifications for me, but I didn't join in the conversation. One of the girls in the group was saying, how do I do a hemlock or some kind of sewing mechanism? And one of the other girls said, what, you didn't learn that at school in home economics? And it suddenly got me thinking, because we did woodwork and metalwork when I was at school. I mean, I only did, I think it was a year of it. But it wasn't an optional subject. It was like the first year of high school, you had to do woodwork and metalwork. And you actually got examined and you had to use the tools, you had to do the practicals. And it was amazing because it did teach me how to do some very basic things. Like, for example, can you wire a plug?
No.
You can't. Ben, you can wire a plug.
Yeah, I've done it a few times.
Okay. Nolo, can you wire a plug?
Nope. No.
No. See, what I'm worried about is that we're not learning practical stuff at school anymore. And this bothers me a little bit because it used to be part of the curriculum. Like, you could make a toasted cheese sandwich without having to go to YouTube to watch how to make a toasted cheese sandwich because you learned to do it at school.
So this was a subject for
you? Well, you had some choice subjects. Like, I can't remember exactly how it worked. It's a long time ago. But I do remember we had to do woodwork and metalwork. So, for example, if you needed to use a hammer or a plane or a router or a chisel or a screwdriver, you had the basic skills. Now, a lot of this stuff you can learn from watching YouTube videos, but there wasn't YouTube then.
Mm.
So I'm wondering where people are learning how to change a plug or a light bulb or how you climb a ladder, how you paint. People don't know how to paint. You see people painting a wall these days. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to use those trays with a roller brush. They don't know how to plaster. People don't know how to pile one brick on top of the other with some cement in between. Now, a lot of this is very skilled stuff, and you have to employ people to do it, which is why it costs so much money to do. But we used to learn basic stuff like that as part of the curriculum at school. And I'm just wondering if that stuff isn't more practical and useful than learning Shakespeare. With all the love in the world, I mean, there's a place for Shakespeare, don't get me wrong. But, like, home economics, like, budgeting.
Or learning how to do your taxes.
Yes. They don't teach you that at school.
But that also going, understanding economics.
Right.
Because that goes hand in hand. Like, right. To actually understand what an economy is and what balance sheets are.
Now, nobody teaches you that stuff at school. So what stuff did you learn at school that's actually useful to you every day?
Oh, the operative term there is useful to you every day.
There's nothing.
Because I still remember that.
Algebra.
Calculus. The three parts of a bug.
Do you remember geometry? Equilateral triangles? Do me a favor.
Isosceles.
Do you remember that stuff? You sweated over that for exams. And what did it get you? Sine, tan, cos. What did that stuff teach you? I understand it's important. You've got to do it. But what stuff are they giving you that's practical? I mean, if the machines are going to take over all that calculation, what are we going to be left with? You have a bunch of vegetables walking around. We can't even put a picture up because we don't know how to use a hammer and a nail. Right?
This feels so personal because it's true.
You don't know how to do hang a picture.
I have to be honest. Can't do that.
Light bulb?
Light bulb, I can screw a light bulb in, yes. And I know the difference between the one with the pointy things on
the bayonet and screw in.
I can't change my own tire.
That's easy.
I have to be honest.
You can't change your own tire. No. So if you have a flat, because this morning I stopped at the garage on the way in here, there was a woman who'd had a flat tire and someone was helping her to do it because she obviously didn't know how to do it, or she wasn't, you know, strong enough or whatever. But I think about these things all the time, like the practical stuff that we just don't get taught anymore. And we know parents are goddamned useless. They're not teaching their kids.
But you see, that was the point I was then going to raise. Is it also about what your parents can teach you? Because what do you do on a Saturday morning and, you know, parents are handy around
the house? So here's the point. Our parents were taught this stuff as part of the curriculum.
Okay.
My mother knew how to sew, not because she wanted to become a seamstress, but because every girl, very sexist, but every girl was taught to sew.
Yeah.
She could mend a shirt. I don't know how to mend a shirt. That fell out somewhere between her generation and mine. I can do basic woodwork. I can do basic metalwork. I can do DIY stuff around the house, but I can't do what my dad can do. He can do everything. So what's next? I mean, what are people going to lose next step down? Because we know that it takes, you know, people used to fix everything around their house themselves. They used to fix the geyser. They used to fix the fridge. People used to know how to fix stuff. They can't fix stuff anymore. You got to take it to somebody. It's become a specialized area.
Ben, do you know how to do that?
I can fix a fair few things, but going back to what you were saying about YouTube is that one of the biggest categories, probably mm-hmm. the biggest category, is the how to.
Yeah.
That you can type in how to anything, and you will have people who will do it. Various stages of efficiency, but everything's on there.
It's also one of the major parts of podcast sort of development is that people are figuring out, I can do that. I could just need to watch a video, listen to a podcast, and then I can figure out how to do this shit. Nobody knows how to screw in a light bulb anymore. I mean, knows how to change a plug anymore. They look at you like, it's some kind of science that is very complex. I mean, you need to be able to figure that shit out. People over there, TV doesn't switch on from the remote, and they sit there like a vegetable. They phone somebody. My TV won't turn on.
There's the Earth.
Yeah, plug. The middle one, the biggest of the three.
What's the green one called? Earth, right?
That's Earth. Yeah, Earth okay. Or it's green and yellow.
Oh, no.
Then the live one is either red or brown. Mm-hmm. That goes off to the right. And the neutral one is blue, and that goes to the left.
Yeah, maybe it's specific to my household, but I know a lot of people who grew up this way. I just grew up being the dialer person.
Yeah, but you family. See,
even with my parents.
But that costs you money.
Yeah.
I mean, it costs you zero. If you have a spare plug lying around, you need to wire something. Or let's say there's an old lamp or fan or something in your house that's broken. You can cut the plug off of that and put a new plug on. But you need to know what you're connecting to what. It's really not hard. And it doesn't, you know how much that costs you? Zero. You need some insulation tape. A screwdriver, and that's it.
Yeah, definitely.
That's it. Wire cutters. You don't even need the wire cutters. You can, you could do that with pretty much a standard pair of kitchen scissors.
I just think going to a hardware store is also great education for some people. Just to go in there, so like, what does that do?
Yeah.
Learn.
Right. People don't know how to do this stuff. So we were talking on the group, and someone was saying that they needed to mend some. You buy an expensive article of clothing, for example, and you hook it into, you walk past a door and it hooks on something, and then it makes this huge hole in it. Let's say you've paid, I don't know, 800 Rand for a really expensive cashmere jersey. Are you going to throw it out?
No.
You can have it repaired, but you're going to take it somewhere and they're going to charge you like 400 Rand.
Mm.
Or if you knew how to do it, you could do it yourself.
Straight away.
And it would take you a little while. I framed that picture yesterday, that hideous, hideous picture that Comedy Central sent me of the Somizi roast with everyone's signatures on it. And I'm never going to hang that in my house, but I used the frame and I put a new thing in it. Now it's nice. Now it can go up in my office.
And it's going to go up onto the Instagram page right now.
Oh, very good.
You get to see it in all its glory.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's these practical skills that we've lost the ability to do. You know, I'm just worried. That's something to think about. All right. Someone sent me this video yesterday. I think it's quite interesting. It's about, you know, that woman from Sex and the City. There's four chicks. There's Sarah Jessica Parker, who looks mm-hmm. like a horse.
Oh.
Then there's the
brunette one, the ginger one, and then
the brunette one was kind of hot, and then there's the very horny one, and then there's the ugly one.
Yes.
The ugly one.
The
What's
one
her
who's
name?
Cynthia Nixon, who's
That's
running
it.
For governor
That's
of New
right.
York State.
Who's actually a lesbian in real life.
Yes, and she is running for governor of New York,
of
and
course.
She said this about marijuana, which I thought was interesting. And you know what? Maybe she's onto something here, because I kind of like what she's talking about here. You want to hear what she said?
Sidebar, we are the worst people to play on a game show together.
I think it's very important that we legalize marijuana here in New York State. 8 other states have done it, plus the District of Columbia. There are a lot of reasons to do it, but first and foremost, because it's a racial justice issue.
All right.
Because people across all ethnic and racial lines use marijuana at roughly the same rates, but the arrests for marijuana are 80% Black and Latino.
All right.
We need to not only legalize marijuana here, but when this multi-billion dollar industry comes to New York, we need to prioritize the individuals and the communities that have been the most harmed by the war on drugs. And we need to parole people who are in jail for marijuana arrests. And we need to expunge their records and use some of this tax revenue for them to re-enter. And what I would say is that effectively marijuana in New York State has been legal for white people for a long time, and it's time to make it legal for everybody else.
Hmm.
I think it's very important.
I think that's a very good point. She's smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good platform to go on, legalizing marijuana in New York State. And I like that she makes it a racial justice issue as well. She says it's been legal for white people for a long time. Now it's time to make it legal for everyone else.
And also those petty arrests and those kind of things,
ridiculous.
How that would free up the police force.
Isn't
as
it
well?
Ridiculous? How many people get locked up for marijuana dealing? It's crazy.
You know, like whatever Donald Trump does, he is obviously, people hate him for everything he does. He breathes and someone says, oh, look at this guy taking more oxygen than he needs.
Right.
But imagine how funny it would be out of nowhere. Donald just said, right, that's it. Marijuana legal across the whole country.
People would love him.
But that's just the whole thing, because people are duty bound to hate him. Imagine how he could fuck with people's minds by just saying, right, that's it. Marijuana is legal coast to coast. Come at me, bitches.
Well, there are people making some strides. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but on the internet you can actually watch city council hearings. I know this sounds like something you shouldn't do with your spare time, but occasionally someone comes up with a pretty good argument. Just an ordinary member of the public who appears in front of the city council. Let's say you live in Johannesburg and you think it's stupid that they want to ban house parties, for example, because they might want to do that. You know how governments try to get all full of themselves and change things. Well, I think this is in Kansas, it's been illegal to get a massage with a happy ending. You can't go for a massage and get your junk played with.
Wow.
It's illegal. The massage person gets arrested and you get arrested. So this dude, he's a nerd. He's a regular guy. And he went to the city council meeting. Only about 20 people there. But I mean, I think this is brave.
Did he go to fight for the case?
He stood up for genital massages. Listen to this. What a hero. All right? What a hero this guy is. Just listen to what he has to say. You tell me if you could do this any better. This is nerd. He's got thin little legs.
I'm Chris Flowers. If licenses and regulations help stop sex trafficking, then if Kansas truly wanted to put an end to sex slavery, shouldn't they allow grown adults to engage in prostitution legally and then regulate and license that?
Mm-hmm.
When you ban something outright, that forces what you ban onto the black market. And the black market is where shady stuff starts happening.
Do you disagree so far?
No, I do not.
Right, very smart kid this. And by the way, he's like, I don't know, 19...
Oh,
he's not a great looking guy.
Plaid shirt,
right,
shorts.
He just wants to be jerked off by a massage person. I never know if it's masseur or masseuse.
Masseuse is
the woman, right?
Oh.
Masseur is the man.
Okay.
Something like that. I don't know. Listen.
Case in point, many years ago, my friend came over with some marijuana and we smoked it. Shortly after, we both started feeling something wasn't quite right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, it was laced. Then
Colorado... That's right, it was laced. But you get the guy's point. Listen to how passionate he is. He doesn't sound it, but the guy's... He's standing up in front of his whole community. Just hold on. This is big, guys.
He doesn't sound it.
Do you know how he's going to get ripped off if this doesn't work? You're the guy who went to ask for a massage with a happy ending at the city council. He's standing up for so many people. Listen to this.
Long ago, Colorado legalized marijuana, and now a lot of the marijuana being sold around here comes from dispensaries in Colorado, and you hardly ever hear tales anymore of people buying pot that's laced.
Right.
I say the same basics apply to prostitution. If prostitution was legalized and reasonably regulated, then most people would rather deal with a legitimate licensed prostitute than have to deal with pimps and potential sex slaves. So I propose this. The city allows for licensed masseurs to give genital massages if the masseur and the client both agree to it. We let someone get naked and have every other part of their body touched and rubbed by a massage therapist.
Right.
Hell, we let proctologists spend their day fingering men and sticking things up their penis. So if someone wants to yank a guy's crank, I say let them.
Right.
Picture this, a big old sweaty fat guy. Would getting him off with your hand actually be that much worse than giving him a full body massage, getting up in there under the folds of fat, or being the proctologist, sticking your finger up his ass? And that brings me to my last point.
Yes.
This is about a group of people imposing their morality on the rest of society.
Uh-huh.
If a grown adult wants a hand job, another grown adult, and another grown adult is willing to give one for money, then let them. That's both freedom and capitalism, and that's the foundation of our country.
Oh, yes.
If you have a problem with a genital massage, then don't get one. And allow other consenting adults to do what they want. That would truly be a happy ending for everyone.
Oh,
oh man. I mean, that is fantastic. Oh,
wow.
What a fucking hero. I mean, that guy is an absolute hero, right?
Completely. There's someone in touch with life.
Oh, man.
What a hero, trying to get hand jobs for everybody.
I want to be his campaign manager. He should run for office. And that last line.
And that will truly be a happy ending for everyone.
It sounds like something Horatio from CSI would say. That's both freedom and capitalism.
People say JFK was more iconic, but that guy. Mm. I mean, it's as good as it gets.
You want to hear one more?
Oh, is there someone else who's standing up for hand jobs?
Yeah, no, this is two surfer dudes in Los Angeles. And they're standing up for house parties.
Yeah, whatever happened to house parties?
People still have them. But in the Hollywood Hills, these two say that this was foundational to their upbringing and that their lives would be a disaster if they hadn't had house parties.
Foundational.
Okay. Listen to this. They appear in front of the city council, and it takes the city council a while to realize these guys might not be serious.
Next speaker. Yes, sir. Identify yourself.
What up, council? My name is Chad Kroger. I'm an activist and house party enthusiast. Over the past week, I've...
Chad Kroger.
Obviously called Chad.
Isn't that the guy, though, from Nickelback?
Isn't he the guy from Dazed and Confused?
I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. Been in a state of deep despair upon hearing the news that L.A. is trying to outlaw house parties in the Hollywood Hills.
Yes.
I am here determined to stop this future atrocity. House parties were the bedrock of my development as a young man in San Clemente. My first introduction to manhood came when the captain of my water polo team, Boomer Kingsley, asked me to shotgun a tall can of Bud Light in front of the whole squad at his end of the season bash. His parents were in Tahoe at the time, so we tore that weekend up. It was epic, and I was super stoked. My newfound confidence gave me the courage to ask out the most popular girl in school, Lauren Stockholder, to prom that year. She rejected me, and I had to go with Stacy McMillan. But I didn't care because I was so amped on chugging with my boys. That's what house parties do. Raging at house parties is the truest way to party.
Thank you. Next speaker, please come and identify you.
Isn't that great?
That is brilliant, but so true. That is how you develop in life.
These guys are fighting for house parties. You know, all you other millennials should be embarrassed. These guys are going to council meetings, getting shit done.
Standing up for what they believe in.
When last did anybody in this city go and stand up to Herman Mashaba and say to him, we deserve free weed and house parties.
Hmm. House parties are so key. I mean, that's the first time I ever puked. It's the first time I kissed a girl. It's the first time I... Like, house parties were so, so fundamental to upbringing. Right. If it wasn't for house parties, who knows where I'd be right now.
Yes. Correct. So listen now, Chad has been disposed of, right? Chad, now his friend... No, but here's his friend. His friend comes up right behind him.
Sir. What up, council? My name is JT Parr. I am also here to defend parties in the Hollywood Hills. I grew up like most kids, worried I couldn't bench two plates, that I wouldn't fit in, that I wouldn't find love. Then I discovered partying, and suddenly all those worries went to the wayside. I didn't need love. I had keg stands. I discovered I was great at raging, and it revealed wonderful things about myself. I could relate to bros, regardless of what kind of bro they were. I could be at a party and moon people, and everyone would laugh, you know, be witty. Or I could play beer pong and compete with real integrity. In short, I fulfilled my potential. If you outlaw house parties, you may keep the volume down, but an externality is that you may keep people from bonding. America needs bonding. People need to put aside their differences and find common joy. There's no more effective environment for that than a freaking rager. This is the best exemplified in me and Chad's relationship. We were star-crossed. He a surfer, me a bodyboarder.
Thank you. Thank you. And I want to welcome you to L.A. Council's Bill and Ted's excellent adventure.
Screw that old great? I mean, if you can get a bodyboarder and a surfer together, you tell me what else is power, what else is doing that across society.
Star-crossed lovers.
All right. Well, we're kind of out of time on this because I've got two very famous people sitting outside. Kyle and his brother Austin Kasim. They are God. I love these guys. I know they say Kasim, but I kind of like Kasim. I like it either way. They're both sitting outside here. They've been nominated in the Best EDM Record of the Year for their single You and Me featuring Amy Jones in the 2018 Dance Music Awards. I've actually just been looking for an excuse to have these two in here. Get your slovenly backsides into my studio.
They are officially summoned.
Kyle and Austin Kasim. Yeah, they are. Yes. They have an 8-year age gap between the two of them and started playing at Wonderland Festival April 2015. You believe that? They are an electronic duo. I saw them perform not so long ago, actually. I see them all the time. These guys are super. They really know their stuff. They were booked for. I mean, let me tell you. Sorry, bit of gas. Don't know what's going on there. Come in here, you two.
Hello.
Look at you. Get your backsides down on these chairs and make yourselves comfortable. I hear they fixed our coffee machine just for you.
Yeah, I got down on my knees too.
Don't tell us about your personal life yet. Kyle, dude, you look very tired. You don't usually wake up at this time. When last were you up at like 5 a.m.?
Yesterday.
Nice to see you, man. Come, grab a seat.
Anyway.
All right, Austin, go. Sit down over there, wherever you two want to sit.
See what I do for you. I don't even wake up this morning.
You never wake up because you can't. You. What time did you get to sleep last night?
No, I was in bed early, by 1 o'clock.
Early. Were you gigging last night?
No.
Okay.
Stood home, working, TV.
You see, there's so much I want to talk to you two about, but first of all, congratulations on the Best EDM Record of the Year. I mean, that's a big deal.
Thank you, bro.
It's very nice. Well done. You know how hard it is to make it.
Yeah.
In music, because, I mean, you guys are great DJs, so you know what you're doing when it's performing for a live audience. And, you know, you get better and better at that because you start to read the crowd better and you know what they want and you're on top of things. But when you actually get recognition in music, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, definitely.
You happy about it?
No, it's crazy because, I mean, you've known me for years DJing alone, and Austin's been out of school for 3 years now.
Did you do this to help him because he couldn't get a job? I mean, tell us, what's the real...
Come on.
What did you do for Austin? And he's so much younger than you.
Yeah, people never believe it, but it's 8 years, eh?
No, I'm talking about it the way you look. I look at you and you're alcohol and drug addled after years of DJing. And I look at your brother and he's so fresh-faced and, you know?
He's a baby.
Yeah.
Jeez.
How could you let your brother lead you astray like this?
No, not at all. We... I didn't know I was coming in for this.
what did you really think?
It's all about the music. Yeah, you know what? We said when Austin finishes school, we're going to team up because the plan was always to have a duo.
Yeah, tell me.
Like carbon copies of each other. So the plan always was to create an electronic duo
Really?
Push our music. Yeah, that was always the plan. I knew from a young age that when Austin finished school, he was going to follow music as well. Because in school, he was already producing and
That's
DJing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were just waiting for the right time.
That's exactly what it was, yeah.
And when you guys perform together, is it kind of an equal performance, or how does it work? How do you balance it out? Because, you know, you've got your fans, he's got his, and then there are people who come for both of you, but there's also a different style. You each have your own way of doing things.
Well, we obviously, I've learned a lot of things from Kyle DJing. He's been my mentor. Mm-hmm. I mean, who else was there to mentor me besides you? I've never really looked up to anybody else.
Well, there are very few DJs worth
You never
looking,
watched
worth
Gareth, though. I can guarantee
no,
you
but
that.
No, but this is exactly the point. Is DJs are really shitty role models. And
I'm good.
You're a brilliant DJ, but being a DJ is kind of embarrassing. It's like you're awake when everyone else is, you know, asleep, and you're asleep when everyone else is awake, and you live in this music world. You're always partying, and even if you're there to work, it's a party.
It's
everyone
a party,
else
yeah.
is having the time of their
That's
life.
That's the thing. Yeah. That's what
it's
makes
not a
it
normal
so,
life.
So different when you tell older people that, what do you do? No, I'm a DJ, and they don't look at you seriously.
They don't understand it at all.
Yeah, they don't realize that it could be.
It was like that lady last year. We were at a guest house, and this lady asked me what I do, and she was like, "I was like, I'm a DJ," and she went, "Oh, and is that lucrative?"
Yeah, well, I'm in your guest house, honey. What do you think? Who do you think's paying the bill after I leave here tomorrow?
Okay, back to your question. So, as Austin said, I've mentored Austin all these years. So, when you watch us play, it's actually like watching one person.
Right.
It is actually the same style of mixing.
Do you read each other like that?
We don't need to. It's weird. I mean, we think the same way.
It's just
we mix
in
the
sync.
Same. Yeah, everything's in sync. We get teased often that it looks like we've practiced dance moves while we're playing.
People always come up to us and they're like, okay, so do you guys rehearse before you play? Do you rehearse the hand movements and the dance moves? And we're like, no, it just happens.
How long have you been doing this, Kyle?
Myself? Yeah. Professionally or in total?
No, professionally.
So I've been playing in clubs for like the last 10 years.
That's amazing. You're still loving it?
I love it. I don't like partying anymore. We had this discussion yesterday. I'm done with partying.
Okay,
it's a complete profession.
So do you want to go in, play your set, and get out?
Yeah, 100%.
Really? Because I used to like hanging out with...
I used to as well.
You know, I suppose you just get tired of it.
It's just like you want to... I think it's just it comes from a professional perspective. I mean, I've just come back from Ibiza, and every time I go to Europe, I come back and I want to work harder this side, and I don't want to party here anymore. I've come back and I'm like, well, it's the same thing.
It's a waste.
I want to rather give people more when I'm playing as opposed to partying afterwards, if that makes any sense.
That does make sense, because I think a lot of people don't know what a toll takes on you.
Like
it can be exhausting to have to be the center of attention every night. And you know, you can be gigging Monday to Sunday.
Yeah, very easy. Yeah.
I saw you guys last when I was, it's probably last year. No, it was January in Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
You were at Shimmy.
Oh, yes.
And I still sent you a rude message to say.
I remember you were upstairs.
Remember.
Yeah, bring
peasants.
I said, bring Austin on because Kyle's fucking.
I remember you. I tried to come up. They didn't want to let me.
It's very, it's great to see because you really are, first of all, there's no question about how proficient both of you are at doing what you do. And getting the feel from a crowd is a very special talent, like being able to read what they want and where they want to go and taking them there is really a special thing. You're a ringmaster as much as you are the musician, as much as you are the person who's bringing the entertainment. You're also kind of herding them in a direction.
Yeah.
And it's hard to do that. You don't just...
That doesn't happen overnight.
You have to gain experience. There's only one way experience. To do that, and you've got to play like hundreds of gigs.
Thousands,
What we were talking about yesterday actually is how we've noticed in the last 2 years people can listen to our music, and we feel like this is really important. People can listen to our music, and they can say, even if it doesn't all sound the same, they can say, that's a Cinnamon track.
Yeah. Cinnamon is what you call the two of you together, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. It's just to clear this up. Cause
it's actually an Indian word, Gunaman.
Okay. No. Tell me where that comes from.
I was just joking.
I was almost on that. I really believe it for a split second.
Trust me, this is the first time he's been sharp at this time of the morning. How has the whole scene changed, though, especially in the last 5 years? Because I haven't been paying as much attention. Before then, I could tell you stuff about it. But now,
it's changed
what's
in
new?
Many ways, bro.
What's new?
First of all, the youth of today the hip hop culture is massive.
Yeah.
Mm. Massive. And it's taken a toll on the dance scene in SA. Actually all over the world, but more in SA because our scene is smaller.
Mm.
Yeah. So like they've captured more of that
so
dance market.
Where are people going now? Because I know that certainly when I was doing this stuff, clubs were a big thing. Clubs were powerful. They used to have parties every night or at least two nights of the week on a Friday and Saturday that were always well attended, you know, massive crowd of people. Everybody was having fun. There was a lot of drinking going on.
Mm.
I mean, what's happening now? Do you go to festivals?
It's all about festivals and pop-ups. Yeah. I mean, if you think back 10 years ago,
yes,
2008, Roxy's on a Monday, yeah. Ruby, Trademark's on a Tuesday, Wednesday, right. Monsoon Lagoon, that's all gone.
Gone.
All completely
yeah,
gone.
These places don't exist
anymore. Well, no. Now for a club to have a party, it's actually sad because of how hard they have to try.
Yeah, they really have to.
You have no idea. Carl Watson, Timo ODV, Carl Kasim, Cinnamon, Tender Monkey all in one night to like get like
yeah. Right. And you got to still be like free entry before this time. Free
drinks.
Some clubs are doing free drinks.
I know. That's bad.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Just to get people there.
No. The point is though, that it's become so much more competitive. And maybe it's because... Do you think maybe people have less money, so they budget more
people
carefully?
People are broke. People are so broke.
I definitely think it's got to do with money. People just don't have money anymore.
God, what a horrible time to be alive.
I often say to myself, if I wasn't playing at this club, I wouldn't be able to afford to be here.
It's true.
I often say that. If I wasn't playing here, I would not be able to be here.
So the festivals, what is the pull there, and how's that? How does that work?
So I reckon it's actually even more narrow, that scene, because mm-hmm. if you're not bringing a massive commercial international,
yeah.
people aren't going.
People have tried. People have tried doing festivals, but if it's not well known or it's a new thing, people aren't that open to new things.
Some it's clicky.
Some guy tried to start a festival in Pretoria. Last month, August, yeah. And it is massive lineup, like huge, everyone you can think of.
Yeah.
Four Tracker Monument, which is a very nice venue for Pretoria people. And a week before, we all got cancelled.
Cancelled? What, just didn't sell?
Just didn't sell. We all got paid out cancellation fees, and the party didn't happen.
Is there still a very different, because there's the hip-hop scene that you're talking about now, which is kind of mixed. It's, you know, there's a lot of black, white, Indian colored. It's all kind of mixed up, and that's big.
Yeah.
And there's still a lot of money in that. But you do get a white scene, an Indian scene, and all of those things as well.
100% that still exists.
Still and those
very
still exist,
segregated.
But they're still small, right? By comparison with the hip hop scene. Tiny.
Yeah.
They're little cutaways.
Yeah, 100%. That's the difference in our problem, in our country.
In our problem. It is a country.
The country in our problem at the moment is that those markets are so small. Now, mm-hmm. to capture all those people in such a small market every week is difficult, bro. It's very difficult.
No, it's impossible. So you have to decide kind of, this is where we're going. This is where we're going to take our music, and hopefully we get lots of people following us. Because you can't try to just do what's cool, because you might not be cool in a week's time.
Exactly.
Oh.
Exactly.
You've got to keep up with the trends.
I want to play this song quickly, just in case people haven't heard it. Can we do that?
Yeah, of course, right, please.
So, Cinnamon, it's you and me. This is the song that's just won them an award.
Been nominated.
Shut up, Sia.
Okay.
Be optimistic.
You're win.
Sure.
You're win. The problem in the country and your problem is that you're not optimistic.
Baby, maybe this is who we are. Maybe you and I are meant to be. Maybe this is all about you and me. Yeah.
Maybe we are just meant to be.
This is very cool, but I mean, I've heard it before, obviously. So, for those of you who just come in, it is Cinnamon, You and Me with Amy Jones, Kyle Nost and Kasim. They're sitting in the studio with me. You guys must be booked up like crazy for the summer, right?
Yeah, it's mad.
Yeah, things are really, really picking up, especially with the temperature.
Yeah. Well, as soon as people can take clothes off, they start feeling better about the world.
In music or just generally?
Generally.
I can agree.
So what's your favorite stuff to do? Now summer coming up, like which gigs do you actually look forward to, which aren't just work?
Festivals are the best, bro. They're just so fun to play at.
Why? Because it's daytime as well?
Yeah, it's daytime.
Is that part of it?
Daytime partying is the best.
Yeah.
Because then you can drink, you can party, you can joll, and then...
Well, you can actually see the people.
Yeah.
It's something that's just come to my mind as you asked that, because I was thinking about this yesterday, about music culture and how it's been lost through the ages. When you play at a club, not everyone there came essentially to see you or to dance. Yeah. They've come to get completely shit-faced.
Yeah.
Or to just socialize. When a person goes to a festival, they've come to rave with you.
Yeah, to have a party.
They've come to party.
Right.
So that's the difference in playing at a festival and playing at a club.
Some of them are off their tits, but that's okay.
We don't mind.
We don't mind. Because they're
lovely to play to.
from my limited experience in that arena, people really are very much more chilled. They're having fun. They're not 100%. Aggressive. You don't pick up that kind of brandy and coke element. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, no, yeah.
Right?
The only way different.
The only people I saw that wanted to fight in Ibiza were South African people.
Yeah, it's probably because of the steroids.
Like, everyone is so chilled and, like, happy. Yeah, it's just like...
So tell me about Ibiza. I've never been.
I really need to go.
I don't know. I'm just worried that it would... Is it that cool?
It is.
Really beautiful?
The island's beautiful. The people are beautiful.
Yeah.
And it gives you a new perspective on the industry. So, like, this is my second time I've been.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I go, it just sort of enlightens me more. And I come back more inspired, more hardworking in a sense. Because you see what's out there.
Yeah.
Not just this where we are.
When you hear about, like, Avicii dying and all of that kind of stuff...
You give up drinking immediately. I'm 16 days sober.
Oh. Come on. You're not going to last. We both know that. But, I mean, that must upset... Because these guys are... You know, if Avicii isn't happy, what chance do the rest of us have? I mean, the guy... Well,
Hardwell just retired.
Yeah, what's that all about?
It's the same thing, bro. Yeah. I've often said this even years ago. I said, I don't know if I could live that life. Because how do you be... I'm not massive, bro, but sometimes it's even difficult being me for a few days in a row.
But tell me why. Because it's non-stop party.
No, it's non-stop people requesting things of you.
Oh, and it's also the environment. It's also that there's this relentless energy. There's this endless demand.
The smile on your face can't stop. You have to just have this...
Because if you go up there and you're a miserable DJ, no one's going to come to your show.
Yeah, of course not.
100% not. And I think that's what happens with a lot of the guys. You can't take it, bro. As a human being, I don't think it's natural to have to behave like that every day. Hmm.
But what we also spoke about was how if you're a DJ, so Hardwell, for example, you can play a lot more shows. So, for example, Hardwell plays how many shows in a week and how many different countries in a week versus like a hip-hop artist or a singer or something. They play... have like a month of touring and then they're done for a couple of months. They chill, they're recording, all of that. But as a DJ...
You're expected to be on the go the whole
time. Yeah, on the whole
time. And you can. I mean, you can make tons of money. The money's good, but obviously you just get exhausted.
Yeah, of course.
Have you seen that Avicii documentary?
Yeah.
So it actually made me cry because I could relate so much with what he was going through. The fact that the guy is just a creative. He really is just a creative who wanted to make music for people.
Yeah.
And that got turned and abused.
Do you think you're going to stop? because you don't want to end up like that, where you're frustrated and you just have to keep on going because you've got bookings up the yin yang. And
I'd put a stop to it. I'd say, well, I'm not taking that booking. I want $10 million.
Because you prefer producing the music, right? Or am I wrong about that?
No, you like I love entertaining.
Okay,
but I don't want to be. I'd never want to become what he became ever. That's just hardcore, bro.
Yeah, but it's also like you become the record label's puppet.
Yeah.
It's just demanding. They want this, they want that, they want that. And we have experienced the deadlines of how a label can be, and they say, listen, this needs to be in by next week, no matter what. And then we have to sit in studio and not sleep at all. But
what are you doing? He's just reaching over and he's like, grabbed something off his brother's nose. What did you do, Kyle?
You had something on your nose.
Oh, okay. Thanks, dude.
That's so caring. Do you dress like this, or are you going to gym after?
I'm going to gym straight from here. Yeah.
Right. I was just wondering. You're wearing like gym tight thing.
Second person.
But you
to
do.
Ask
you've got to look. You've got to look good too, right?
Yeah.
It's part of the deal. You don't want to go up there. You fat slob DJs. Those years are over.
No.
They are.
No
one
an
wants
image
to see
thing.
That.
No,
sure,
all,
of course.
Image.
So you, and also it's a health thing because you are spending time in these smoky, shitty environments sometimes. Yeah. You need to be healthy the rest of the time, and otherwise your life's going to deteriorate.
Yeah. Well, we caught not as much as me because I'm a lot older.
Yeah.
But we caught a wake up this year. I mean, from January, we went back to gym, started eating healthy, cutting out certain foods, and it's made a big difference, eh?
Yeah. Well, you notice that even if you're not drinking in a club, you're still going to feel like you have a hangover the next day because you're in all this smoke with a little oxygen.
Right.
And, so you need to let your body be exposed to much better things for the times that you're not in a club.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's almost like those people who do those Arctic swims. You know, the rest of the time, they want to be as healthy as possible so that when they do have that ordeal, which you guys go through almost every other night.
Your body's strong enough.
You're strong enough to handle. And also, it's all these filthy people who don't wash their hands.
No.
They wipe their backsides and they don't wash their hands. And then they come outside and they're like high-fiving the DJ.
All these fluids being swapped amongst people.
People kissing each other and slobbering all over each other and sucking dicks. And it's just disgusting.
Lovely. We love it. You're kidding.
That's true. You got to be careful. Look after yourself.
Make it sound so classy.
It's what? What do you think happens? You've been to clubs.
I've just...
Especially 2 a.m. You know nobody's washing their hands.
As of a few weeks ago, I've started really giving these high-quality, massive production clubs a chance. Mm. So I've gone to a couple...
Are there any left? Go on.
Well, no. Like, I've just only gone to Taboo for the first time a few weeks ago. And I feel like I'm missing out on life, where you get the girls with the big champagne bottles and the fireworks, and they dance around you. And
you only just started with this stuff now?
I swear. I have usually, you know me.
My friend, you're going to have to bond your house if you want to do that every week.
I am at home with the blinds down and my robe on. But now I feel like it's a whole new world, and I now get what you all mean when you talk about this lifestyle. So, hey.
Tell me about the women, dude.
Who are popping bottles and holding fireworks.
No, I mean, like, this is an exciting part of this. If people think about DJs, they think, well, these guys are getting just tons and tons of ass.
Look, I wouldn't say it's as simple as girls just flooding to you, but it does happen.
Of course. Of course.
I mean, my life changed drastically from matric to first year varsity. I mean, as soon as things really started taking off and I started playing all over Pretoria...
You were the big deal. Every girl suddenly very interested.
Yeah,
they weren't
really
that interested before.
No, you get a lot more attention.
Sure.
Yeah.
I can be very honest and say a lot of the girls I hooked up with are purely because of who I am. It's a shallow thing to say, but I accept it and I embrace it.
Some people it's because they've got money. Yeah. Some people it's because they're extremely good looking. Some people it's because they spend all day in the gym.
Exactly.
And some people it's because they're DJs.
Exactly.
That's the truth.
And what
of it.
Do you care? You're not
I
interested
don't care.
In their motivation. If you're in the mood. You
I'm know. Not buying them option. Gucci bags, but I can play a track. You come over.
Sure.
They can have a shot of tequila out of your bottle behind the DJ box if they want.
But it gets to a very shallow point, bro. You know, as much as I do. I mean,
you don't make real meaningful relationships.
Not that I'm anywhere old. None of us in this room are. But
are you interested in settling down?
100%. Yeah. I mean, we come from a very family-oriented home.
You guys, Pretoria boys.
No, Benoni.
Benoni.
Yeah. So we come from a very family-orientated home.
You got other brothers and sisters?
And sister, Danielle. Okay. You've met her, man.
Yes, I have met her. Yes, I can't remember where, but I have met her.
You have met her a couple of times. She's in a relationship. Austin is in a relationship.
Well, yeah, I've been in a relationship for the last year now, for the first time in my life.
Can she understand? Can she handle the fact that you're going out to these clubs and you're basically selling yourself, really?
Surprisingly, you're the product. Surprisingly, she handles it really well. And I feel like it has been good for me because it's taken my focus off all the goals. Because I said to Carl, one of the biggest factors of these gigs and going out was the excitement for all the girls that were going to be there.
Sure, it's a distraction.
Yeah, and now that I have a girlfriend and I'm actually really liking her and enjoying it.
But it's a year, that's impressive.
I'm more excited to go and actually DJ now. For the actual performance part of it.
You ever take her with?
Yeah, often.
Okay.
Yeah, she's cool with it. She's really, really chilled.
Do you mind other girls are like flashing their titties at you and everything? She doesn't mind?
Yeah, well, luckily the other day she wasn't there. I was playing at the Good Luck Bar in Joburg.
Yes.
And a girl came onto stage and grabbed me and tried to kiss me.
Uh-huh.
Just tried to pull into me in front of everyone. And luckily my ninja skills were on point. So I just ducked it and then
So what we do now with situations like that is that I stand there.
Mm.
And as he ninjas, I catch.
Oh, you grab it.
Oh. Well, bro, he's 21. Yeah, sure. 21 young girls are great.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you need their essence to keep yourself young. Yeah.
It's like that unicorn blood in Harry Potter. Yeah. You want that.
the well of eternal youth.
Yeah.
And you remember, if you end up, I've always believed, if you end up sleeping with people who are uglier than you, you get ugly. If you sleep with people who are more beautiful,
a fact?
It's absolutely true. Even if it's perception, I'll explain why. Psychologically, if someone hears that you bagged some really, really beautiful girl, they go, wow, he must be way better than I thought he was.
Wow.
But if they find out that you slept with someone hideous, then they go, oh, there's obviously something wrong with him. Think about that. So it affects the whole herd. Everybody in the crowd, everybody in the tribe of humanity, they find out that there's something about you that means you're below, you're going for action below your station.
Gareth giving me anxiety early in the morning. Yeah.
It's a really good point, though.
Yeah, it is. Wow. You,
so I never bothered
something like that.
I never thought about it like that before.
But there might actually be science. Who knows? Because, you know, the
well,
human
you're right.
Beings,
it's a psychological thing.
Yeah, but human beings, we also, you want to aim high. And then you want to score above average.
Yeah.
If you think of yourself as the average, you want to keep upping the ante. You don't want to go downhill.
Yeah.
Right.
It's true.
See.
Some people want to avoid disappointment, though. But
Yeah. I mean, those, you know, some people don't have goals.
Yeah.
Some people don't have ambitions. I'm impressed with what you two are doing, though. And congratulations. The song is called You and Me. We played it just now. I'm going to finish off with another song from Cinnamon in a second. They are nominated in the Best EDM Record of the Year for their single You and Me, featuring Amy Jones, 2018 Dance Music Awards. Do they have a ceremony?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
And do they have a trophy that you'll get if you win this?
Yeah, you get an award. I went to the ceremony last year.
Where will you put it if you win?
That's a tricky one because we don't live together.
Yeah, so who would get it first?
No, I think they'd give us two.
Okay, and then where would you put
it? Yeah, possibly.
I'd put mine in my lounge.
Oh.
Yeah, me too. And
proudly on display.
Proudly, yeah.
Good.
Right next to the good. Speaker. Yeah.
Because I often think the people who say, oh, no, I don't, it doesn't mean anything to me. They sometimes full of shit, right?
No, it does mean a lot
I'll
to us.
I'll stare at that thing every day.
I mean, this is our first big track. It's our track, our first release on Sony, so.
Yeah, this is a big milestone for us.
It's a big record company.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I hope they're looking after you.
Well, we're going to make you all vote after this.
Yes. Tell us how to do that so that everybody can support you.
DMASA.coza.
DMASA.coza. Okay, let me go there now. Let me do this. I'm going to actually do this. DMASA.coza. All right.
All you do, it takes like 30 seconds to register.
Right. Better because, do I have to register?
It's an email.
Your name and your email.
Email
and your
phone number.
All right, hang on a second. This is such a ball ache. Vote. Here we go. Log in to vote. I'm going to give them my email. Gareth@cliffcentral.com.
DMASA. Okay, Dance Music Awards. Okay.
Okay.
Are you going as well?
He's literally doing a try.
I'm doing it right now. I'm submitting.
Three extra votes for us.
Error. User not found. Oh, for God's sake, I have to register. Sign up now.
Sign up.
Guys, this is such hard work.
Come on, no, it's not.
No, it's really, this is hard work. Oh, see, now they want a password, a surname, a cell number, and then they're going to spam me with
shit.
They'll
never spam you, I promise.
You don't even have to confirm your email or anything like that.
There's no confirmations.
You're in.
All right. And they promise me they're not going
to
spam me.
I promise. You can forward it to me.
All right, hang on, let me do this. Okay, got it. My passwords match. Submit. All right. Great. Thank you. Now let's get in here. And then I vote for you.
Yeah, you can go to option number one first.
Success. User created. Woohoo! I only want to vote in your category. I don't want to go for album of the year.
No, I'm in three categories.
Oh, all right. You're going to have to show me afterwards. Okay. Right, there we go. Kyle and Austin Kassam, everybody. It's just about time for us to clear out of here. By the way, if you haven't already, download and listen to our series with Craig Wilkinson and Khalil Osiris. It's a conversation about masculinity that everybody needs to hear, especially in this country, especially with the problems we have in society. It's a raw and authentic series of six podcasts. It provides profound insights into the way men behave and what they do, why they do it, unpack the three core desires at the heart of every man, the question every boy needs answered on his journey to manhood, the four big lies about masculinity, what wounds the masculine heart, and the one thing every man wants from women more than sex. You can listen to Man to Man Talks. It's brought to you by Carling Black Label. Drink responsibly, not for sale to persons under the age of 18. Available on cliffcentral.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Download the whole series and listen to them as, you know, one big binge. Like you do a series on TV. Do it. I'm not going to force this down your throat, but it's really good. These two guys have done all the research. They've had all the experience. Craig's written books. Khalil's been in jail. They have stories that will blow your mind. You need to listen to this stuff. It's Man to Man Talks. It's all on cliffcentral.com. Brought to you by Carling Black Label. And that's it for us this morning. I'm going to clear it up with the un-news, and then I'm going to vote for Kyle and Austin, and then I'm going to play you this song. All right, where do we go? Let's go to the un-news first. Let's be professional about this. All right, here's all the stuff you need to know. The South African crime stats were released yesterday, and it didn't make for pleasant reading. Murder and cash and transit heists are on the up, but politicians were quick to point out that crime is decreasing in Mpumalanga. That, though, has more to do with the place being too much of a shithole to live in than things going well there. Speaking of crime, Cyril Ramaphosa has yet to reveal the terms of the gigantic loan that we just took from China for Eskom. He's assured everybody that everything's okay and that there's nothing to worry about. He also said the same about state capture, government corruption, land reform, and the economy. But who's counting? And finally, for those rugby fans, Rassie Erasmus's week in New Zealand just keeps getting more difficult. They were scheduled to practice at a school field in Wellington, but upon arrival, the school's first team was still practicing on it. Asked if they could give the Bucks a chance, the school's coach told the Bucks that they would play them for the field. The team swiftly returned to the team bus and were taken back to the hotel gym. Alrighty, we'll see you tomorrow. CliffCentral.com.